The Supplication on Thursdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who has taken away the shadowy night by His power and brought the sight-giving day through His mercy. He has clothed me in its brightness and given me its favor. O Allah, just as Thou hast spared me for this day, so also spare me for its likes. Bless the Prophet Muhammad and his household, and torment me not in it and in other nights and days by allowing me to commit unlawful acts and to clothe myself in sins. Provide me with its good, the good of all within it, and the good of everything after it, and turn away from me its evil, the evil of all within it, and the evil of everything after it. O Allah, by the protective compact of Islam, I seek mediation with Thee, and by the inviolability of the Quran, I rely upon Thee. By Muhammad, the Chosen, Allah bless him and his household, I seek intercession with Thee. So recognize my protective compact, by which I hope my need will be granted. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, decree for me on Thursday five things, which none embraces but Thy generosity, and none supports but Thy favors. Health through which I may have the strength to obey Thee. Worship by which I may deserve Thy plentiful reward. Plenty in my state through lawful provision. And that Thou makest me secure in the places of fear through Thy security. And placest me in Thy fortress against the striking of worries and sorrows. Bless Muhammad and his household. And make my seeking his mediation as an intercessor give profit on the day of resurrection. Surely, Thou art the most merciful of the merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of the Almighty Allah, dear friends, Salamun Alaikum, peace and salutations of Allah be upon all of you. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Our topic to talk about is hardened hearts. Let's see what date is today. Today, Wednesday, is the 19th of Zilqa'dah, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 9th of Tir, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 30th of June, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Dear friend, as usual, in this part of today's special, we'll listen to Chapter Al-Hadid, verse 16.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ألم يأن للذين آمنوا أن تخشع قلوبهم لذكر الله وما نزل من الحق ولا يكونوا كالذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبل فطال عليهم الأمد فقست قلوبهم وكثير منهم فاسقون.
Has the time not come for those who have believed that their hearts should become humbly submissive at the remembrance of Allah and what has come down of the truth? And let them not be like those who were given the scripture before, and a long period passed over them, so their hearts hardened, and many of them are defiantly disobedient.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Different occasions of revelation have been mentioned for the blessed verse. Once the noble prophet's adherents lived a hard life in famine in Mecca, but after their migration they attained to abundance and bounties. Thus the hearts of some of them were hardened, whereas their faith and devotion were supposed to be increased owing to their acquaintance with the Holy Quran. Thus the blessed verse was revealed to serve as a warning to them.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
Harden hearts. The commander of the faithful Imam Ali alayhi salam has said, everyone who lacks self-restraint and piety will have a dead heart. Whoever have a dead heart will enter inside the hell. He has also been quoting as saying, the tears of eyes never get dried, but for the sake of hard-heartedness. The heart never acquires hard-heartedness, but for the sake of excess of sins. So what can revive the heart after it has become hard and dead and unresponsive to guidance? The answer is purification of soul, remembrance of Allah, the Almighty, avoidance of excessive indulgence and overeating, and avoidance of too much laughter, sport, and merry making. Imam Ali alayhi salam also advises us to think and ponder over the verses of the Holy Quran. The Imam says, ponder upon it. He meant the Holy Quran, since this is the spring of the hearts.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Babin Asta'in. In this episode, we are going to talk about ruthlessness or being hard-hearted. Now we find that those people who kill other peoples, usually those people who are associated with superpowers, they might justify it for them, for themselves, that in order to reach, as much power as possible, they may have some right to kill other people. But the problem is that it isn't because of their education, it's because of their ruthlessness that they come to this conclusion. Suppose that, for example, when Americans wanted to capture Iraq, they attacked many places in Baghdad. Soon after the bombardment of Baghdad and attacking Baghdad, and setting the whole city ablaze, I had an opportunity to go to Baghdad, and I noticed over there that many many houses, many factories, and many places were burnt down, okay? Why Americans did this? This was because of, they're having a sense of superiority, compared with other people. Or they may say that, they surely say that, since we are Americans and since we want to dominate everything, we do have all sorts of rights to attack whatever we may wish. Okay. This doesn't come from the, policy making or the political decision. It comes from the ruthlessness. Likewise, for example, when the Zionist soldiers attacked Lebanon in the early 1980s, I was over there. I was in Lebanon, and I noticed how savagely they attacked the Lebanese people day and night. Okay. I don't forget that early in the morning from, for example, 5 o'clock in the early morning, they started attacking the city of Beirut, and this attack continued up to, for example, 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock in the evening, okay? Or, for example, just a few days after the Sabra and Shatila, massacre, I was, I paid a visit to that, crime scene over there. I saw in many of the signs of the attacking, people's cities and camp.
On the way to know the signs of the heart and heart, we reach to the heart, which is untouched by the verses of the Holy Quran and unable to take lessons. How many times that we've read the Quran, even completed it once or twice, but our hearts are far from being touched or fluttered by it. It is different from a healthy soft heart. A heartened heart upon listening to the verses that contains Allah's promises or threats will not be affected in the least. It won't succumb, nor that it will become solemn. Moreover, the owner will be negligent from reciting the Quran and listening to it. Instead, he or she is unwilling and turns away from it, whereas Allah the Glorified and Exalted has warned us from this condition in His verse, which means, "So exhort with the Quran all those who fear my warning." You can find it in chapter Qaf, verse 45.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
On ways to soften a hard heart, today's special suggests developing an intimate prayer life. Prayer has been turned into some magical formula that gets Allah to do what we want. Prayer is not designed to be used to give your wish list. It is supposed to be a deep and intimate conversation with your heavenly Allah. We must get back to that intimacy with Allah. We must start dealing in prayer with the realization of our idolatry and hard-heartedness. We have to stop asking Allah to revive us personally. We have to see that it begins within us.
Every human being, if they recognize the sensitive area of the heart, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا يسعني أرضي ولا سمائي ولكن يسعني قلب عبدي المؤمن, that the heavens and the earth cannot understand or comprehend me, but the heart of my believing servant believer can. Yes, to that extent that we are told if they ascend themselves by making the qalb, the intellect, in charge of their affairs, they can become better than the malaika, better than the angels. Yet the Quran says they can stoop very low. Number one, they can become like animals. But the Quran says in Surah Al-A'raf, بَلْ هُمْ أَظَلْ, they are worse than animals. They say that's the second phase. The first is being like cattle. The second is being like worse than cattle, which means plants, some of them say. The third is which level? فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَةِ. Now they come to Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 74. They say the third state in the dissension of the heart of the human being is for them to be like inanimate objects, the Quran says. And there is even a fourth position, which is worse than a hijara. بَلْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَةِ. Worse. Can you imagine that Allah says a human being can become worse than what? A physical object that has no life? Even worse than it. That is how a human being can stoop. And if they are not careful, the position that they can reach.
As you listen to, we talked about hardened hearts on today's special. Inshallah, we decide to continue to talk about this topic, so please be with us on the next episode of today's special. Till then, may Allah bless all of you. Fi amanillah.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and here is excellent advice worth pondering upon from Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Riza, peace be upon him. Avoid the curse of the oppressed, since they seek adjudication from Allah, and he will never let them down and deny them their rights.
Thank you. If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. There's a very famous tradition that we've all heard that one of the reasons for the sending of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to perfect moral characteristics and moral traits in people. But the Holy Prophet came and taught us. The Holy Prophet did not, inject us with a special serum, and all of a sudden our actions and our demeanor and our character became angelic. Our minds and our thoughts became pure. Our hearts, fluttered towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, delivered the message, and returned to his Lord. Again, this is the historical Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's up to us, therefore, to acquire these characteristics, these attributes, these traits. And by doing so, they will have meaning on the day of resurrection. If there was just something given to us, what's the purpose of it? We did not earn it. It's not something to be, in inverted commas, proud of. Why? You didn't earn it. It was given to you. And you followed something that you were given. You put no effort into it. You do not strive. But on the day of judgment, these things will be very heavy in terms of how they will impact the weighing of our deeds. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, nothing will be heavier on the scale of deeds when on the day of judgment, when we are standing there in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, it is important to note that when these hadith or these ahadith speaking about the day of judgment are mentioned, we should not take them, extremely literally. Ayatollah Misbah Yazdi rahmatullah alayhi speaks about this in his book of Theological Instructions. But for the sake of us as human beings who are so attached to the physical Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, have used these examples in order for us to understand. It may be like this, it may be something else, Allahu A'lam.
So the Holy Prophet is saying that nothing will be heavier on the scale of deeds than good nature. Husnul khulq, that the demeanor, the ethics, the akhlaq of a person, because obviously the purpose of the wajibat and the compulsory deeds is for self-building and for a person to reach a particular type of demeanor where he himself becomes the mirror of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
ودعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by our Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum to all the dear brothers and sisters who are listening to this program. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is all mine, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. In this series, at first, we all are going to listen to a recitation of the Noble Quran recited by a famous reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation. And at the end, we are going to listen to a short speech about the Noble Quran. Stay tuned, dear audience. We'll be right back. Today, in the first part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, we all are going to listen to the recitation of verses 48 and 49 of Surah At-Tur, as well as verses 1 to 8 of Surah An-Najm, both recited by Sheikh Mahmoud Ramadan, the great Egyptian reciter.
وسبح بحمد ربك حين
audience of IRIB English Radio, you're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. And you just listened to the recitation of verses 48 and 49 of Surah At-Tur, as well as verses 1 to 8 of Surah An-Najm, recited by Sheikh Mahmoud Ramadan, the great Egyptian reciter. Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wasbir. We have Hamzatul Was. That's in between the word wa
and isbir.
And isbir. And we said that Hamzatul Wasl is not part of the word. And that is why it's not pronounced whenever it's not the first letter that is pronounced.
It should be ignored.
Yes. Wasbir. We don't say wa isbir. Wasbir.
And the sign is?
The small sot that's above it. Wasbir. We have tarqiq of ra.
Yes.
Wasbir.
It is pronounced thinly.
Attenuation. Wasbir lihukmi rabbika rabbika ra. Ra here is pronounced with tafkhim.
And the ha, could you talk a bit about
lihukmi? We have buha of the ha because it's pronounced in the pharynx, deep in the throat. And that is why you have to pronounce it with a specific sound that's called buha. It's the characteristic of buha. Ha, ha.
And it is voiceless.
It's voiceless, yes. فَإِنَّكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا أَعْيُنِنَا عَيْن has the same place of articulation as ha, except it's voiced.
We have vibration of vocal
vibration
cords.
And this, because it's voiced, its characteristic, one of its characteristics changes. One of its characteristics changes. The rakhawa of ha becomes tawassut of ayn. So ayn gets tawassut instead of rakhawa.
Concerning lengthening of the letters.
Yes. Lengthening of the consonant.
Of the consonant, actually.
Not just lengthening. It's not actually lengthening. It's the timing. It's how long you spend pronouncing
these letters.
These two letters. Ha lihukmi rabbik. But a'yunina. We don't say a'yunina.
Ayn should be pronounced. Actually, pronouncing ayn should take shorter time.
Yeah. Wasabbih, again we have ha, bihamdi rabbika hina taqoom. Taqoom, the qaf. It has to be pronounced correctly. The root of the tongue and the uvula.
Qaqoom.
Qa, taqoom. Wa min al-layli fasabbihhu
wa idbaran.
Fasabbihhu.
Together.
Yeah.
It's a bit difficult, I think.
But so they're different, though. They're not the same letter. One is ha, one is ha. They have different places of articulation.
Yeah, one of them is deeper in the throat.
One is in the deep part, the middle of the throat. One is in the bottom of the throat, which is the glottis. And also, there's no ishba'. Fasabbihhu. It's not fasabbihhu. Because we don't have the conditions for ishba' here. It's preceded by a letter with a sukoon.
The ha itself has
the ha, yeah. Fasabbihhu. Wa idbara an-nujum. The dal has qalqala. Next surah, Surah An-Najm. Wan-najmi. Najmi. Okay, the jim has qalqala again.
And noon.
It's important that you also pay attention to the characteristic of tafkhim and tarqiq when pronouncing letters of qalqala. Two of them have tafkhim, three of them have tarqiq. Qaf and ta have tafkhim, jim, dal and ba, they have tarqiq.
One should be pronounced thinly.
Yes, and you should not give a haraka when pronouncing a letter of qalqala. So if you say one najami, it's as if you're giving a fatha to the jim. One najmi. Pronounce it quickly. Ida hawa ma dhalla. The way that Sheikh Ramadan pronounced the dhad was correct. Dhalla. Ma dhalla sahibukum. We have this stretching of the consonant. The med of the consonant. It's the only letter only consonant where we have the stretching or the lengthening, because lengthening is usually, you know, it's a characteristic of vowels. But for a dad, it's also for a consonant, and it's called istitala. You have to lengthen this consonant from the very back of the tongue to the front of the tongue. Law. It starts from the back of the tongue, and the side of the sides of the teeth are used, either the right side or the left side. Law. You could use either side.
Mm-hmm.
And the side of the tongue is also used for pronouncing blood. It's really difficult to pronounce blood. If you just want to make it easier, pronounce it like a dal that has tafkhim, but the sound, just try to make it, don't softer. Pronounce it like a plosive. Pronounce it softly. Ma-walla. See, we don't say ma-walla. Ma-walla.
Please correct me if I'm wrong. Walla.
Yes, softly. Like a dal that's pronounced softly.
Mm-hmm.
And try to observe the place of articulation of vod as well while you're doing this. Just keep this in your mind. A dal with tafkhim, which is pronounced softly, and
with
at the same
friction,
time,
actually.
Yeah, and at the same time, we use either sides of the tongue and the adjacent upper molar teeth to pronounce vod.
Thank you, dear brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. And now the third part of the program, let's recite the Quran. We all are going to listen to a short speech by Dr. Shomali talking about the Noble Quran. Let's enjoy it.
We've been discussing some hadith about the significance of the Quran. The hadiths we have been discussing are selected from Al-Kafi, the section called Kitabu Fadl al-Quran, about the merits of the Quran. Another hadith is hadith number 5. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam quotes from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the way a carrier of the Quran is supposed to be. If Allah has given you the blessing of being a carrier of the Quran, you are carrying Quran, okay? Then you have to be observing the requirements of this position. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إن أحق الناس بالتخشع في السر والعلانية لحامل القرآن. The one who is supposed to have the greatest خشوع, humbleness, in secret or in public, is a carrier of the Quran. It shouldn't be that because you read the Quran, you memorize the Quran, you learn the Quran, you teach the Quran, then you think that you are special, you are important, you know, you become arrogant. Or, na'uzu billah, when you are in private, in, you know, your secret life, you don't act upon the Quran. If you are really a person who has been able to get close into the Quran, then you have to become very humble, very khashi', whether it is in public or at home, when you are alone, when you are with your family. You have to be as humble and as obedient as you are in the public. So Quran should bring khushu'. You know khushu', yeah? Khushu' is humbleness of the heart. We have khudu' and we have khushu'. Khudu' is humbleness which appears on your body. Khushu' is the humbleness which appears in your heart.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, what you just listened to was a short speech by Dr. Shomali And that was the final part of the program. Let's recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Click on the tab Call of Islam on the top right of the page, and there you can have access to all our programs as well as the other programs of the radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you on Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye. سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن.
علم فقه از علوم شریفه اسلامی است.
فقه or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of عمل انسان بعد از
self purification is the most significant fact.
امامت یک اصل زنده است در تاریخ اسلام.
امامت is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to another episode of Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by famous Iranian Shiite orator and lecturer, Hujjatul Islam Ali. Stay tuned.
عمل به دین کار سختی نیست.
Practicing the religion of Allah is not a difficult task. Allah the Almighty pours down His mercy upon the believers through one true niyyah or intention and thought. Now, having a good intention or thought is not a difficult task. Once a person was invited by Imam As-Sadiq to his house. In the middle of the night, when that person wakes up, he finds Imam As-Sadiq worshipping Allah while crying. Upon seeing such a scene, he felt embarrassed because of his lifetime, which was wasted in void, without worshipping Allah. Then he slept again, and when he woke up in the morning, he told Imam As-Sadiq about his feeling in the middle of the night, when seeing the Imam crying and worshipping to Allah.
امام گفت شما هم امام صادق هم شما هم کم کاری نکردید دیشب
Imam As-Sadiq, in answer to his guest, stated, You also did great last night when you drank a glass of water and recalled my forefather Imam al-Hussein, who was killed when thirsty. What you did was also great. Thus, we can see that sometimes the mere remembrance of Imam al-Hussein or one true niyyah or intention is regarded as the true practicing of religion of Allah. Sometimes we are given blessings and rewards only through our true thoughts. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Ali. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care. Fi amanallah.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. We are still looking at Islam and how it established and built the pillars and the foundation of human rights way before any other civilization and before any other religion in that regard as well. Among the things that Islam established when it came to the notion of a human rights was the right to worship your Lord or your deity, or to have your religious beliefs or no beliefs intact and preserved. We see that if we look at the history of Islam and Muslims, from day one, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa ala, when he began his preaching the religion of Islam, it was an invitation. An invitation for a better life, for a better way of living, for getting rid of all this paganism, all this ignorance, all these acts that were done in the name of greed, in the name of, I don't know, trying to gain wealth, and so on and so forth. So it was just a call. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, he would circulate around the Kaaba, he would recite verses from the Quran, he would advise people. And that was about it. You want to take it, accept it? Sure. You don't want to accept it? Also, that's also your choice. So there was no compulsion, there was no force in the preaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi. Even when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi migrated to Medina, established his city, established his civilization, he went on to even create one of the greatest armies, yet he never used any of this that he had to force people into doing things that he wants them to do, or force them to become Muslims or change their beliefs and stuff like that. In fact, he left them as they are. Even when he managed to conquer the city of Mecca and go back, he also did not force people who were in Mecca to be Muslims. No, they still remained on their faith. Those who changed out of their own will, and those who haven't, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam did not do anything in this regard. So you can see that this is the first thing that he began with. There's no compulsion. Second, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam and Islam in general, they not only did not force people to accept, but they gave them the freedom to believe and have their beliefs and have their synagogues and their churches and their places of worship and even their books intact. None of that was destroyed or demolished in Islam. So Islam did not say, well, okay, now it's a Muslim country, now the city is under the Islamic law, therefore we need to demolish all the churches and all the mosques. Islam did not do that. In fact, the Islam emphasized on the fact that these places need to be protected, need to be taken care of under the Islamic government. And you can see even that the Jews remained in Medina while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was there. They were worshipping their Lord based on what they think is correct, and that was never taken from them. And so this is just how Islam came to establish this notion of the right to worship what you worship, and to, you know, accept what you want. And not only that, but we will give you the support that's required, and we will also give you the protection that's required for you to practice what you are practicing. Now let us take a break, and then we come back, inshallah.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. Just before the break, we were saying that Islam established the notion of everyone has a right to believe in whatever they want to believe in, and under the Islamic government, they preserved churches and goals, and they gave their people the right to practice whatever they want to practice. If you look at the United Nations Human Charter, in Article 18, it says that everyone has the right or the freedom to think and to accept whatever religion they want to believe in, without being forced to change it, and without, you know, being stopped from preaching it or teaching it. So this is the Human Rights Charter, which is, in fact, it goes, you know, very well with the Islamic notion that we just spoke about. So Islam and the United Nations Charter seem to agree on one thing, or at least they have taken that from Islam to begin with, because Islam preceded this charter in over 1,000 years. And then we say, well, this is an Article 18 in the United Nations Human Rights Charter. How much of this is actually applied in the Western countries that, you know, acclaim to be champions of human rights? You can see that, without giving too many examples, of course, without going in details, of course, you can see that And now what is being created in the Western media is what we call Islamophobia. So where you have Islamophobes who go around and they're trying to create this mass hysteria about Islam, to the extent that even governments now, they're taking measures to prevent some certain Islamic beliefs being practiced. For example, you have many times in different countries of the West, obviously without naming names, you have closure of mosques. So they come to mosques and they close them because what? They brand them as, you know, a hub for terrorists and what have you, right? So under different pretexts, some mosques get closed, some centers get shut down, some Islamic schools get shut down. They prevent them buying and they prevent them from having permits to build their own mosques. Obviously, we're not generalizing, so we have to be clear of that. But it's happening in different countries, and sometimes in one country, in one place, they might give a permit, they might let a Muslim do his thing. In another state, they might prevent him from that. Or sometimes from the same, in the same state, you have this, you know, give and take relationship with them. But the idea was that you still have this persecution against, even sometimes even against Muslims themselves, personalities, preachers, or the imams or sheikhs, whatever you want to call them. Sometimes they are the target. In one of the countries that I was in, one of the very active sheikhs that we have, he was extremely active. He was he had all the youth around him. He was doing such a marvelous job in trying to guide the youth and bring them to the right path. And a lot of people who are atheists and Christians became Muslims. The government saw that